Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. I'd like to remind you that today at our friends Tequila Harry's, Tequila Harry's is going to be donating 10% of sales all day long to the scholarship fund that I have established in memory of my mother, the Julie Ontivero St. John and Deborah Douglas Gutierrez, a good friend Jake's mom. I established a scholarship, a memorial scholarship in their name and their memory with the Hispanic Development Fund. And Tequila Harry's will be donating 10% of all sales all day long to my mom's scholarship fund to help some very deserving kids further their education when they may not be able to without the help from the Hispanic Development Fund and the scholarships. And so if you'd like to support, just go eat at Tequila Harry's, and 10% of the sales will be donated to my mom's scholarship fund. I'm going to go out there around 5 o'clock, so from 5 to 7, I'm going to be out there. Mike Boddicker's going to stop by. Jamie Blumen's going to stop by. Jake's going to be there. Marco's going to stop by with his family. My dad's going to be out there. And I am going to have a few items that I will raffle off. I'm going to sell some raffle tickets, probably for 10 bucks a piece or whatever, and all the money's going to go to the Hispanic Development Fund and my mom's scholarship fund. But thanks to our great friend Brad with ADA Fundraising, I'm going to have three items to raffle off: a full-size Travis Kelce autographed helmet, a Nick Bolton signed jersey, and a bat signed by Bobby Witt Jr. And so I'm going to raffle all three of those items off between 5 and 7 or 7:30. And so I'm going to sell. And you know what? I better get a whole bunch of raffle tickets sold. I'm going to stay there until I get enough raffle tickets where I think it's good enough for those great items. And so please, if you'd like to donate to a great cause, enjoy some awesome food on Taco Tuesday, come on out anytime to Tequila Harry's. But if you want to hang out with us and the crew that I'm going to have out there, we'll be there from around 5 until 7 raffling off those items at Tequila Harry's right by Johnson County Community College. So stop by and see us at Tequila Harry's all day, and we'll be there tonight raising money for my mom's scholarship fund with the Hispanic Development Fund. So thank you. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com joins us now. How you doing, man? Good morning.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How you guys holding up?
Oh, you know, hey, that Chiefs game was nothing after I watched the way Mizzou lost to Auburn on Saturday.
After that point, huh?
You know, it's all good. I've seen it all now. But it was a disappointing loss by the Chiefs to the Colts, and there's a couple of obvious items from that game that have been topics for all of our guests, and so we'll throw the questions at you and get your reactions to them. Number one, what was your reaction to the penalty flag thrown on Chris Jones for talking trash to Matt Ryan?
All right, first, before I answer that question, what's been the reaction? The consensus, has it been more bad flag or bad play by Chris Jones?
I think both. Yeah. Like I'm more on the side of, I think it's ridiculous that they would throw a flag at that point in the game on a guy, you know, talking. But also I recognize that Chris Jones can't put himself in that situation, and he's standing there alone, away from everyone else, face to face with the quarterback. Referees are going to protect quarterbacks. But I look at that, and I look at Jamal Williams being penalized for thrusting his hips, celebrating a touchdown, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
Like, they've been trying to really crack down on taunting for the last couple years at least. I can't remember exactly when it became a big thing, but I know that I was watching, you know, every year the league goes around to all the different networks with the officials and talks about certain plays and certain issues that they're going to emphasize. And taunting has been one of them for a long time. And taunting can be anything from somebody.
Right, what is taunting?
It's subjective. That's the problem, right? So, you know, Tyreek Hill's peace sign, to some people that's taunting. To other people it's not. It's just having fun.
I think that's fun.
You know, but I think the thing is, if you know that that's part of the NFL's mission to try to take that away, or at least minimize it, diminish it, then you've got to be smarter than that. And maybe Chris Jones didn't know that. That's one thing I've thought about after that situation happened, was how aware was he of the danger he was putting himself in that situation. And so the way I watched the play as it happened, I didn't think they would throw a flag on him, but I definitely felt like he was the instigator in it.
Oh, I was I'm telling you, I'm watching the game with my wife, and I'm saying, walk away, because I thought he was going to headbutt him or do something that would have been flagged. And then he starts to walk away. They threw a flag?
Yeah. I think he even could have gotten away with just saying something really quick and walking away.
Right.
I think that he lingered and maybe a beat too long, and that Matt Ryan responded, and the ref was, like, right there. I don't think it was as much about the words or whatever. I think it was about just the optics of it in that moment, because I think most people were probably shocked that, even Colts fans, that a flag came out at that moment.
Matt Ryan was shocked.
Matt Ryan said he was shocked. And so I think ultimately the bottom line, it was a bonehead decision by Chris Jones, and it put them in a – I don't think the game should have come down to that. There were a lot of things that happened before that point.
But it did.
And so at that point, you got to be smart enough to say, all right, we won the game, let's get out of here. And I guarantee you this much, he won't do it ever again.
Right. And also think I'd like to see officials use common sense. I don't sit in a campaign for pass interference to be called on every Hail Mary, even though it could be, because it's, you know, time and place. You need to throw the flag right then. They're walking off the field. It's done.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
And like, so like, you know, this is a different deal, but I'm just, overall, why is this a penalty?
Yeah. Well, he's always done that. You know,
right? That's
Antonio Brown. Talking about Jamal Williams' celebration for the Lions. But Antonio Brown went through that, you know, with how much he was thrusting his hips.
But do you think that should be a 15-yard penalty?
I don't think it should be.
No.
But again, but if you came in here, if Chad Boger came in here and said, we're going to do something as far as how we promote this station, every person who listened to that would think, okay, I need to do this or I need to do that. Everybody had their own idea about what would help market this station better, right? And so I think the same thing is true when it comes to officiating. I think officials hear certain mandates and they decide, okay, this is what I think is appropriate. You know, I think going back to Chris Jones for a second, as I watched him at the end of that game, the one thing I thought was he had to know every camera in the world was on him on that bench when that game ended, because he was just sitting there stewing, and it was just that shot was like for, it seemed like it was 20 minutes.
That was a terrible feeling.
Terrible feeling, like, yeah. Oh, my God, like, I'm the GOAT now.
They just kept showing.
After all this, after that kicker had the game he had, after all these special teams gas, I'm the one they're going to be talking about. But again, it's the way the league is. The league goes through these different, there's a lot of rules right now that I don't agree with, but the one thing I do always tell people is that every year, they go to mini camps. They go to all these different teams and say, this is what we're going to focus on, whether it's been pass interference, whether it's been taunting. Now it's, you know, DBs can't go low on blockers coming out of them, so you got a 185-pound corner trying to take on a 310-pound lineman above the waist. It's just the NFL.
Right, but you can put Tua back into a game when he's stumbling around like he's drunk, but he's fine to go back in the game. That's not damaging. But boy, if someone talks mean to him, protect him then. But don't protect him when he clearly is concussed and can't stand on his own two feet.
Yeah, and that'd be interesting to see how that plays out too, but that's also on the team.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
That was an absolute farce.
But we would be sitting here having this discussion if that was DeForest Buckner hitting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, or talking to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs benefited, we'd be saying, oh, well.
I mean, it's the concussion protocol's a farce.
I'm talking about just we're on a tangent now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I was irritated when they grabbed Patrick Mahomes' face mask out of bounds earlier in the game, that wasn't flagged. So, I mean, that's all right.
Yeah, look, I think what we're talking about here is just subjectivity.
Right, because Mahomes talks trash, and I like it when he does. Yeah. I don't want him flagged for it. Yeah. I liked the Tyreek Hill peace sign, even though he's not on the team anymore. I still think it's funny. I thought the Jamal Williams touchdown dance was funny. I think it's entertaining. I like to see guys celebrate. Like,
now,
you know?
Keep in mind, I believe what one of the Colts' backup linebackers got penalized on that last kickoff on the sideline. But what I saw him do was not anything that I thought was – I haven't seen before in a game.
Gave the Chiefs a chance, too, because they had that terrible return. They went from having it at the 15 to the 30 to start that drive, which gave them a chance.
That was a makeup call because I think the officials knew that the Chris Jones call was ridiculous. That's what I thought right off the bat.
Or you just have officials who were just more sensitive in that game to calling that kind of stuff. We went through this last year with the Bengals game where it was just what's pass interference, what's holding.
Something just occurred to me when you said that, and this is just a thought. But, you know, refs can be petulant just like players can, and it's very possible that that refereeing crew got reprimanded for not flagging some sort of taunting penalty earlier in the season. And they said, oh, you want us to flag all the taunting penalties? Then here you go. Flag. There's a flag. There's a flag. You know? And I'm going to overreact the other way. You know? Because they do. We know they get letters from the league and they get reprimanded if they don't call things that are supposedly a, you know.
What was the play last year? I forget. Was it a Steelers game or something? Steelers, where the guy was running off the field.
He looked at the bench. He looked at the other team's bench for too long.
Yeah.
And they flagged him.
But again, if you're Chris Jones or anybody, Chris Jones or Jordan Poyer or Von Miller, you have to know that's part of the game today. And even though you've been doing it and getting away with it, and people do it all the time and don't get flagged, it's just like pass interference. Some people are going to call it, and some people aren't.
And I get it. Okay, you can do a siren here because I'm gonna try not to do this. I'm gonna make a reference to what something I know in boxing. Right, you got guys that get in there and fight 12 rounds, get hit in the face repeatedly, get concussed, whatever. Get cut in a emotional struggle for 47 minutes and fight their asses off, and then you expect them to get in front of a microphone with Larry Merchant or Jim Gray, you know, 5 minutes after the fight, and they still haven't received medical attention, and then you want to criticize what they say or how they act after what they've just gone through. Right? Or you want to criticize what they say in a press conference after what they just gone through. If you've been in a 12-round fight, you are concussed and you probably need to go to the hospital right away and get medical attention. Okay? And so I think it's always been ridiculous to me when people criticize, can you believe he said that after the fight? I mean, you ever been hit in the head for 47 straight minutes and then been asked to make perfect sense and answer questions and represent yourself properly? Football is such a game of emotion and violence, and you're asking these guys to immediately turn it off. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, don't swing your helmet and hit some of the obvious stuff, but you're asking guys to you're playing this game 100 miles an hour to not make a big hit and stop and stand. Something you've been doing your whole life. I'm not absolving you, but that's hard. You played football. You know what that's like, and some guys make mistakes. You get caught up. Is it not a game of unbelievable emotion and violence? And I'm not talking about, like the guy at the kickoff standing there. I don't think that should be a flag either. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough ask.
Yeah, but we've been on this slippery slope for a long time with football in general. Some of it comes back to the concussions and the violence. I mean, the targeting rules, especially in college, drive me crazy. You know, I think there were a couple big hits on Sunday where you saw guys, their heads got rocked, they got hit in the shoulder. I think it's very hard to legislate and really be punitive in how you deal with the game. You're making a great point in how you deal with this game, but we're already on this road. And so once you get on that road, everything becomes fair game when you're the people in the suits and in the ivory towers trying to determine how can we make this game more palatable. And so for them, they think whether it's taunting, whether it's targeting or whatever it is, like there are ways to really make this a more civilized game, or just, you know, it's civilized, but it's just a less violent game. And I just don't think you can really do that. I think you either have to be all in or just accept that these things are going to happen.
Don't taunt, don't celebrate, but let us set a camera up here on the other end of the end zone to encourage the whole team to come down there and taunt and celebrate.
Yeah.
It's just that's all. Yeah. Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Do you think the game came down to that?
I don't think it did. I think that was one of many things that the game turned
it
on.
It shouldn't have, but I think if they walk off the field and they win the game.
Yeah, but it was like, there was still like five minutes left in the game, right?
Yeah, they had several chances to get off the field still. I mean, the Colts possessed the ball for 8 more minutes after that without the Chiefs being able to get off the field. If Travis Kelce holds on to a touchdown pass that hits him in both hands in the back of the end zone, probably a different game, right? Like if they can kick a field goal. There's plenty of blame to be spread around. My personal feeling on it is refereeing is always going to frustrate you. It's always going to be inconsistent, especially in a sport like the NFL where there's a million different rules and a million different penalties and a million different applications to it. That's a cop-out for the fact that the Chiefs cost themselves that game. They didn't deserve to win that game because of all the mistakes they made. They should have been better, and they should have not made a whole bunch of mistakes in the game. And that was one of them. That was a mistake by Chris Jones, in my opinion. Was it the worst mistake? Did it deserve the penalty? All that stuff. I mean, I think it's harsh. I think that the league's gotten a little carried away with all this taunting stuff for sure. But it is what it is, like you said. And he could have walked away from it.
There was five minutes left in the game when that happened.
Yeah. Okay, so still 5 more minutes. I mean, I think they got the ball with 9 minutes left in the game to start that drive. And they still had all those opportunities to get him off the field. So to me, my bigger issue is that the fact that the Chiefs themselves could have done a number of things to win that game, and they didn't do them.
Yeah, and the point I'm making about there being 5 minutes left, I've watched a number of games already this year where there have been dramatic comebacks with less time than that. I watched the Browns lose to the Jets in that situation. I've lost with 2 minutes left in the game. I've watched what was the other game that came down to that? It was a Miami-Baltimore. 21 points in the fourth quarter. It's also ironic here because last week when I was talking about that, you weren't here, but we were talking about the Chargers, and a lot of people were like, oh, if they had this interception, if this didn't happen, well, it didn't happen. And, that's how games go, right? You always have opportunities to win or lose or increase your opportunities to have success. And when it goes your way, you feel like, hey, we're just a better team. And when it doesn't, you're like, well, all these things, if they had changed, would have been different. I agree with you. They didn't deserve to win the game based on the way they played.
Hey, that's what makes the NFL such a tremendous product is the margin. I mean, we talk about whether or not the Raiders suck. They're 0-3. The margin between them being 2-1 is incredibly thin. It's like, do you execute in the biggest moments of the game?
But they do suck.
I wouldn't say that. I think they're a better team. I think that there are reasons.
But that's every NFL team all comes down to the wire.
Yeah.
But we can sing that song
about everybody.
Yeah,
would it stun you if the Raiders ended up 7-10 this year?
No, because they suck.
So, I don't think 7-10 sucks that bad. I think.
Well, I do because I don't like the Raiders.
Okay, well, yeah.
Well, that's different.
I'm having fun.
Okay, gotcha.
But the Chiefs were 1-2 last year at this time. The Bengals are 1-2 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just in Cincinnati last week, and they were like, we're 0-2, and people are, houses burning down. We suck now. We're overrated.
Look,
and it's just like, it's just the league.
I can explain it as easy as this. If Butker's not hurt, the Chiefs win that game. Okay? This isn't the Chargers. The Chargers are that's a team that they got big problems. They got big problems. They got their asses kicked up and down the field by Jacksonville. That wasn't a game that came down to a couple of plays.
They have injuries. Their problems are injuries. They lost Rashawn Slater.
The Chiefs had 3 defensive
Joey
starters off.
They're not losing all pros. You take away Kelce, Mahomes, and Chris Jones, it's a different team.
Jeff, they got beat by 4 touchdowns by Jackson.
I watched the game, yeah. And I'm telling you, Justin Herbert shouldn't have played in the game. He was banged up.
I love Chase Daniel, but he ain't saving that game
either. I'm not saying they would have won the game. I'm saying Rashawn Slater is out for the season. He got hurt in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Bosa went out with a groin injury, I think, in the first half of that game, and J.C. Jackson didn't play.
This sounds like you talking about the Chargers every single year you've ever been on the show.
All I'm saying is they're injured.
I know, but
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Chargers, when they played the Chiefs, were a bad team?
Why are they always injured? Why are they all? Why do they never win?
To that.
Why do
I'm
they
never saying, make the playoffs? I'm just saying that the reason that they lost the game the way they did was because they lost a lot of key players. I think it's a closer game.
For sure.
All those
Do you think maybe again they don't have a good coach?
Well, we'll find out.
So you just said that Herbert shouldn't have played.
I shouldn't have played.
Well, whose fault now? Who do you blame that on?
Well, the coach took the blame for it, right?
Right.
So, yeah. But I also, let me ask you this. You think Patrick Mahomes is not playing a situation? Or not trying to play?
I'm sure he's trying to play, but, I mean, or do you let him play?
That's a great question. I mean, that's I understand the desire to trust your players to go out there. And he's going to have to play at some point with the injury he has. Now, right. Whether it's 3 weeks from now or a week from now, I think they're saying he had 10 days to try to get ready. They wanted to give it a shot. Now, I don't think he should have been in the game once it became a blowout. I think at that point you're probably saying, let's get him out of here and let's, you know, this game's not going to go our way. But
didn't it surprise you a little bit, though, the result of that game, that's the way that went?
All right, let me ask you this. Last year the Chiefs lost to the Titans by what? Like 21 points?
Right.
And
the,
so
the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC, though. This is Jacksonville.
Well, at that point they weren't.
Right. Well, but they were perennial playoff team.
And Jacksonville
team.
May very well end up being a Jacksonville looks like a playoff team right now.
They could be.
Yeah. And so if they end up being a playoff team at the end of this year, will that game look different to you?
Probably, maybe depends on what the Chargers are, though.
Yeah. So to me, it's every week you can look at a team and say, oh, they're this record, they're at record, and so they're this. I think in week three, it's a little too early to say that about teams that have talent. I think if you're the Atlanta Falcons, yeah, you can say, all right, well, there's no way that team is going to rebound from that. I don't think two great examples, Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys. What were you saying about those two teams 2 weeks ago? No shot. Done. Can't win. And the Browns right now conceivably could be a playoff team if they're able to find three more wins and their quarterback's able to come back and get them some wins.
I mean, like the Cowboys overcame injuries, so I mean, you can do it.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to lay down like the Chargers did. I mean, it can be done.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to end up having to change your game plan. You're going to end up having to alter some ideas about what you can and can't do. My problem with the way the Chargers played in that game was that I think they went out there and played like they still had 100% healthy roster. I think the game plan wasn't great.
You understand. It seems like that's the theme. That's the song we sing every year with them. I don't know.
Okay, who was picking them last year?
Every year everyone picks them.
Who was picking them the year before? The year before they picked sixth in the draft.
Right.
So they had a losing season. So I think they've been building a team, but I don't see where there's been this. And what I love about this conversation is always people picking the Chargers every year. Well, who's picking them? And what's the rationale behind it? This year people have been picking them. But when Justin Herbert became the starter, like nobody was saying Tyrod Taylor's going to take this team to the playoffs.
That was 2 years ago, though, right?
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and then Herbert played all year. I feel like going into last year, a lot of people were picking them. Ain't going into this year, a lot of people were picking them. But
so people were picking them over a Chiefs team that went 14-2 and played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they were
saying, that's why people get irritated when.
Well, who's the one picking? I feel like you
picked them, Jeff. I don't know.
Go back and check there. I don't think I picked them. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty confident. I'm not picking a team that's starting a rookie quarterback, a second-year quarterback.
You're making sense to me. This is why my argument always is. And, like, I don't understand why people are picking these other teams in the AFC West when they have these unproven coaches against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I don't get it.
All right, well, Broncos are 2-1 right now.
Right.
Right? Chiefs are 2-1. Chargers are 1-2. I think all year long you're going to see all these teams scuffling and battling. They're going to lose players. They're going to have moments where you're like, what happened here? And, yeah, when the bar's set that high at the start of a year where it's like everybody's going to be in the playoffs or everybody's going to be, you know, have a quarterback in the Pro Bowl, it makes people look at it differently and scrutinize it more. But at the end of the day, and Chiefs included in here, I don't see any team in here that is walking around without red flags. I don't see any team in here that doesn't have issues that could cause them games or that can make them struggle at times. We just saw the Chiefs go through that. And so to me, it's like whether you're the Raiders or whether you're the Chiefs or the Broncos or the Chargers, I think the question is how do you manage that stuff going forward? I don't think you can definitively say what a team is at week three, again, unless those teams don't have talent. All these teams have talent.
It'll depend on how good their coach is, one of them. We'll see. We'll find out.
Well, all of them, really.
Right. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
Welcome back to the show. One other thing I wanted to ask you about the Chiefs game. Do you take anything away from the exchange of words between Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy, or is that once again the camera caught it, we're making too much of it, nothing to see here?
All right, so after a game when special teams had all those issues and the offense was stagnant, those are the two biggest things people are talking about.
Well, because the camera caught it. Special teams, there's a kicker that does no longer exist in the organization anymore. That'll take care of itself. The other special teams was really bad, and the offensive lines had some issues. But guess what? When they're having trouble scoring, when they're having trouble in short yardage, that's just how it is. Everyone's watching that damn game, and what do we see going to halftime? Them arguing.
Well,
if it's nothing, saying it's nothing.
I don't think it's nothing because certainly it's been discussed for months on end, and there was some that strange blog post that got that disappeared.
Nate was involved
within minutes of it being posted.
What was that called? What was that group you were in?
The Arrowhead editorial board.
Yeah, you act like
Chiefs
you don't know what it is.
Board.
Yeah.
So the way I saw
Chiefs
it,
Kingdom editorial board.
Whatever.
I'll go through it the way I saw it. I saw Bieniemy on the sideline looking fairly calm and saying, "We're done." Something to the extent of we're going in. I saw Mahomes come over, and it seemed like he was saying, "Let's. Why are we not doing this? Let's go for it." The situation did not require any real thought. If you're being rational,
right.
It was 3rd and 20. I think they're on a 30-yard line or 40-yard line. It's like it wasn't like he was going to go out there and create some amazing throw. I think Michael Irvin even joked that Eric Bieniemy was basically saying, "Dude, Tyreek Hill ain't here." So let's stop.
I was like when it happened, I wasn't mad. I was the way I looked at it is like they don't want him to take an unnecessary hit here at the end of the half. Just go in.
Yeah, and so sometimes you got to say players from themselves. And to me, it never seemed. And I've watched a number of coaches, players, coaches and coaches argue on the sideline. That was not. I agree with Andy. That was not some kind of altercation. That was two guys disagreeing. I've seen Bieniemy get into it more with Kelsey on the sideline whenever it was a few years ago, and Bieniemy almost had to be held back. So, look, Bieniemy's a very fiery guy. He's going to speak his mind. Mahomes is a very fiery guy. He's going to speak his mind. For me, it's just an indication of what happens when you can't play the way you used to play. And I think sometimes Mahomes wants to believe, well, hey, we can go out here and make it happen just because we're the Chiefs. And in reality, if you watch the Chiefs, especially the last couple weeks, they don't have the weapons at receiver to make those kind of situations doable. Now, it's different if you're in a Hail Mary, you know, no other option type situation, but that easily could have turned into a let's drop back, try to throw some long developing play, get sacked, ball's out, they're taken into the end zone, and now we're really in trouble. The way that game was playing out, they'd had enough mistakes, they'd had enough struggles with the Colts defense to where it was not worth it to try to. And so for me, the only takeaway I have from it that bothers me is that somehow Bieniemy always gets thrown into the middle of all this stuff. when there's no way that call's being made without Andy Reid saying we're going in for halftime. So Bienemy's the messenger in this. Mahomes wants to argue with the guy who's giving him the message, and it becomes a thing. That's where I think it's overblown.
Why do you think that is?
Why I think what that is that Bienemy just, the way it is?
That Bienemy just kind of gets the thrust of this focus all the time.
Well, because they're in a situation where he's the offensive coordinator. They're trying to feature him. They want to give him opportunities to showcase his skill set so people who are doing the hiring in January and February can be more enamored with his potential. I just think that, well, I do know this. He is probably the most fiery coach on that staff. Mm-hmm. And he's never been afraid to speak his mind, wherever he's been as a coach. And so that, you hear LeSean McCoy, you know, bitching about this a lot, that sometimes can rub people the wrong way. But I also know that if you talk to the players over there who've been around him and players in other places, they have a lot of respect for him. They know he's passionate and cares about them. They know he's smart and knows what he's doing. And so, again, you have to understand this. You have to understand what you're working with. What's the old Matty Johnson line? Know your personnel. This team does not have receivers who are winning consistently enough for them to go out and be the offense they were in 2018 and 2019. And so they're going to have to be more rational about when they're aggressive and when they're not.
It seems like Bienemy, like on the one hand, you could say, well, what a great gig it is to be an offensive coordinator working with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But on the other hand, it seems like he's in this pot where now it's like anytime the Chiefs do well, that's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And anytime something goes bad, well, Eric Bieniemy is pissing off Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Like, it's almost like he can't win right now.
Yeah, that's possible.
And in terms of just the way that people perceive it or talk about it.
Yeah, and look, Andy's not the same kind of coach that Eric Bieniemy is as far as the way he deals with players. Cliff Kingsbury's not the same kind of coach that Eric Bieniemy is the way he deals with players. It could just be a difference of, hey, this is – you know, you have one way of approaching things. I have a different way of approaching things, and we're just going to knock heads. But I never feel like for either of these guys, Mahomes or Bienemy, that there's not an understanding of what the ultimate goal in is all this. Like, the idea is to win games and be effective offensively. And I said this, you know, when Tyreek Hill left, people talked about what's this offense going to be like without Tyreek Hill. In moments like they had on Sunday against the Colts, that's where you miss him. Because he's able to create things for you and get you out of situations that are troublesome when you're not at your best. And so that's why I was saying earlier, that's why this team will have a lot of games like that. And they'll win some and they'll lose some. Because you don't have that ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card that came with 10. That's in Miami now. And you saw what that got them in Baltimore 2 weeks ago. They're 3-0 right now, and he's a big part of why they're 3-0.
So how do you think this game plays out on Sunday night? I'm not taking the bait. I was telling Mark Boerter earlier where people are, Tampa's done, too many injuries, Tom Brady looks washed. I'm not doing it.
Now you're going with my thinking.
Yeah, but I've been down that road too many times, and I'm with you. The interesting thing to me about this season is who's the best team in the AFC? I don't know. I mean,
well, I think it's still Buffalo.
Miami's got the best record. Yeah, Buffalo, but injuries, they're dealing with a lot on the defensive side of the football. But yeah, I'd probably say Buffalo, but I don't know. And then in the NFC, it looks like Philadelphia, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's wide open. And so Tampa, look, man, I'm going to expect their best punch. I'm going to expect their best shot. And it's going to be a very difficult game for the Chiefs to win. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think they've posed the same problems that the Colts posed, and in that they're a wounded team right now. That is, even though they're 2-1 and the Colts were 0-2, for Tom Brady, that's, you might as well be 0-11 after losing that game and dealing with what he's been dealing with. The more stuff gets piled upon him, the more motivation he gets. And so they're going to have Mike Evans back. We'll see if, you know, Chris Godwin or Donovan Smith can play in this game. It seems like it's doubtful right now if that's going to happen. But they are very good at changing up what they do. They are very good at realizing, okay, we can't go out and play the way we wanted to play a year ago or 2 years ago, so we got to play this way. I think what they will do, be honest with you, they will try to do what the Colts did. They will try to throw the ball to their backs a lot. They will try to do quick passing game.
Especially without Willie Gay.
Especially without Willie Gay, yeah. I think Mike Evans, they will try to match him up against Jalen Watson as much as they can. And they're going to play – their defense is better than the Colts. And is the problem – I keep coming back to the receivers. The problem with having receivers who can't win immediately is that when you play teams that have good fronts and can play zone coverage against you, it's just it's a slog. It's just hard to get things moving. And we can't run the ball consistently. It's even worse.
And you say that, you know, like the Colts, Tampa is a wounded animal.
Play hard, we kick their butt again.
That's not it.
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come angry? You come...
Well, you agree with that? That's what Bruce Weber says about wounded animals. Do you agree with that or no?
I would agree with that. I don't know how the phrasing of it was, but...
Hey, it's the point of it.
It's a question.
Phrasing is whatever you want. But do you agree with the point?
I agree with the point. Yeah. Have you seen that Kiss documentary on Hulu?
No.
Where Gene Simmons is talking about some business that Kiss ran back in the day where they were...
Don't say it.
I think they were selling some kind of funeral plots. They were selling you could have a Kiss, what is it, with a headstone?
Yeah.
At a funeral plot, or you could, and you could also have a limo to the concert. So our whole deal was, wait for it, we got you coming and we got you going.
That's right. Jeff has sent us what appears to be predictions. The AFC West. You picked the Chiefs. And on NFL.com. Yeah. I think sometimes you pick different teams on this show because you like to push buttons.
Wait, you went back and looked at the stuff?
No, someone named Jeff tweeted this. So
yeah,
I'll assume it's accurate.
Thank you. I think people, you got me all worked about the Chargers, and I get it that they're the rival and people don't like them. I think people sometimes hear what they want to hear instead of what's actually happening. And so I could see people saying, oh, the Chargers should be better. Chargers should be, it could be more dangerous.
Are you on the Chargers payroll?
No. No. I wouldn't mind having it. Give me a second home in L.A., I'll take it to the California.
That's what Nate said. Yeah. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
She says she wants some Marvin Gaye, some Luther Vandross, a little Anita, but definitely set this party.
Oh, boy, we almost got a Nate truth bomb there.
Yeah.
And then we came back to commercial. Too bad we're going to miss out on that. You want to finish your thought there?
Nope.
Yeah.
No,
this guy's been typing away and hacking away and stuff. What's going on?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Is that what you're doing?
Message board. Or
what have
like
you
that.
Been doing?
All these K fans are mad that they're not ranked in the top 25 right now.
Man, let's talk about a leap.
Are you mad?
They went from like
I don't care.
Three wins would be great to aren't we ranked?
Yeah. I'd like to see him win another game this weekend. I could not care less about
when's the Sunflower Showdown.
It's not until November 26th.
Oh, man.
I hope that's a big game.
Move it to Arrowhead.
One game at a time.
Are you going to go to that game if it's a big game?
Oh, I don't. Nobody wants me at that game.
Everyone wants you at that game.
Nobody wants me at that
Everybody.
Game.
Everybody.
No.
If I count.
Yeah, well, you're.
Marco.
Of course you do.
Said yes.
Are there any K-State people left around here?
What's that?
K-State fans.
Shane Summers run around here.
Yeah, Stan Weber's here. Nick Leckie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At least those, you know.
Okay.
And then a whole legion. Can I get some picks from games for some games?
Yeah.
Okay. What about this? Is an intriguing matchup on Thursday Night Football: Dolphins at Bengals.
I'm going Bengals.
Give Miami a loss.
I'm going Bengals. I think it's I like. Joe Burrow is going through what Patrick Mahomes went through last year, learning that you can't have every big play that you want to have, and so they're coming back to a more rational approach to playing football. I think the Bengals win that one.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
That's
it's a great Thursday
game
night game.
On Thursday night. I like that. What about let me see. Let me get a good one for you to pick. Not great matchups. Oh, I love this one. What about Bills and Ravens? Oh.
Bills are banged up.
Lamar's putting on a show, baby.
Lamar's MVP right now.
He's leading him
MVP.
Or Jalen Hurts, one of the two.
He's cool. He's got more touchdowns.
He's leading the competitive pricks to an unbelievable fantasy start.
Yeah. I mean, he's got.
He scored 50 and then 48 for me.
It's something like he's got like 87% of their offense. their whole offense right now?
Back-to-back games, he's had at least three touchdown passes, 100 yards rushing.
100 rushing, yeah. No, he's lights out. But
Ravens are watching that price tag go up.
I think the Bills just, even without all their issues in the secondary, this is the kind of game where you don't have to worry so much about issues in your secondary because I think Josh Allen gets back to getting busy, and that South Florida heat won't be a factor this time. They'll score some points and win the game.
Chargers at Texans.
Chargers. I like them. Even with all their injuries, that this is like what the Colts were going through with the Chiefs last week. You can't afford to be 1-3 and be serious. All their injuries, I expect a better game plan, better execution.
I can't wait to hear what you say about this. Broncos at Raiders.
I think the Broncos are going to be a sneaky team now. I think they're just going to be doing enough unimpressive stuff that no one's going to be hyping them up like we hype everybody else up.
For the Raiders 0-4?
It's for all the things we're saying about their coaching and the quarterback not playing well, Broncos defense is legit.
That's fine. That's the old can't lose game when I watch it. Someone's losing and I'm happy, so whatever.
Yeah, I think the Broncos will get them.
Chiefs and Buccaneers.
Another tough
Chiefs
one.
Favored by 2.5. Over under 45.
I like Bucks. I think it's going to be an ugly game.
Well, over under 45, so give me a score so at least I can look at that.
Let me see. Mike Evans coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Fournette running the ball. I think you see a lot of throws to the running backs. I think Brady rebounds. I'll take Bucks 21-20.
Under. And finally, I mentioned Dolphins, Bengals. Tyreek Hill is no longer a member of the Chiefs, but I am satisfied that the trash talking between him and Eli Apple continues. Here's Tyreek Hill after the game when he figured out they were playing the Bengals next.
I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The cheetah is here. That's it.
That 15-yard penalty?
Yeah, I was going to say he's got penalized 15 yards for that. But, I mean, if you're going to look for something to watch on Thursday night, that'll
be... He had ski goggles on while he was doing that interview, but I'm not sure what that was
about. But I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be. Who do you like in that game?
Bengals.
Yeah.
Bengals. Man. The Dolphins. Dolphins should have had a loss by now. They, you know, they're a good team.
Should have a couple losses by now.
And the Bengals are better than 1-2. I like the Bengals to beat the Dolphins here. Bengals by 3.5.
Wow. And Miami?
Well, it's in Cincy.
Okay.
Over/under is 47.
Yeah,
I think I like the over too.
Coming off a big divisional game like that, they just had against Buffalo, and this.
Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, GFG. Where are you going to be at? You want anywhere fancy?
I'm going to Philly on Thursday to talk to Jalen Hurts.
That could be the MVP. Hey, Jags at Eagles.
That's a good game.
Prove-it game right there. Hey. If the Jags beat the Eagles,
it's on.
Doug Peterson might be the coach of the year.
It's on.
Him or Mike McDaniel.
Thank you.
Tyreek Hill says McDaniels.
Tell Devontae Smith to continue to score at a high rate for me.
He's your guy,
too. Pass that along, please. That's Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Go to Tequila Harry's, buy food, and raise money for Hispanic Development Fund on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.